Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 11th of December, recording at 9:36 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, the highlights on an important day here. And the Asian markets were mostly steady. We had Hong Kong and China were firm. Hong Kong was up 2.5%. The Nikkei was up. Australia was up. New all-time high by India. European stock markets were mostly easier in here today. Very small declines. A little bit of nervousness ahead of the Fed's announcement, and rightly so, as it turned out. The Dow was up 40-45 points just before the Fed's announcement, and then headed south in a hurry. And I'm going to jump right in on this now, because my feeling is that the Fed really blundered. In a way, it was deja vu all over again, referring to their October meeting, although not quite as bad as that. First, the Fed did cut the federal funds rate by a quarter of a point, which was widely expected. It was also expected and hoped, certainly by me, that and a good many other people, that the Fed would cut the discount rate by 50 basis points. Now, the Fed did not do that. It cut the discount rate by 25 basis points. It's still half a point higher than the federal funds rate, and I think that is a problem. I feel on these cuts that the Fed remains behind the curve of events. And worse still, the Fed's language, while not as bad as last October when they said, well, risks were balanced, basically, it was a guarded statement, and they did drop the language from the previous statement that the risks of slower growth and faster inflation were roughly balanced. That was an absurd statement, in my view. But they did have a comment about saying some inflation risks remain. Well, of course they do. You've got the energy prices and the food prices. But they, most importantly of all, they didn't show leadership or the emotional intelligence that I feel is very important in dealing with a fragile economy, and where investors have clearly been quite nervous. Incidentally, the Boston Fed president, Eric Rosengreen, had voted in favor of a half point cut. Everybody else had opted for the quarter point cut. So, what did the markets make of this? Well, again, I think that a lot of people feel, as I do, that the Fed is behind the curve of events. So we had a sharp sell-off, with the Dow being down over 300 points at one stage and closing down 294. That's 2.14%, and the S&P was down 2.5%, down over 38 points, and the NASDAQ Composite was down nearly 2.5%, down over 66 points. So that was a very sharp sell-off, and it produced downside key day reversals, which certainly checked the stock market rally. Now, Treasury bonds rebounded very strongly on that news or that statement, and so we had a 2-point gain in the Treasury bond futures, and that was held pretty well through the completion of trading. As so often is the case, when you get a disappointment like this, you see some deleveraging take place all around, and we saw gold and silver reverse some modest gains. So gold was up at $5 at one stage, got up to 812.60, but is in after hours, it's down 11 here at 797. So it's canceled out yesterday's gains, but still remains near the lower side of its range. So, and when we see that type of reduction in leverage, the U.S. dollar then usually steadies, which it did in here today, because the euro dollar was about unchanged, or maybe the euro was down a little bit before the statement, and it's now down half a cent in here at 1.4659. The dollar index picked up a little bit to 76.31, but the real drama occurred in Wall Street, with the stock market really quite weak, and the bonds quite strong. Now, what's it all mean? Well, I feel, and I've written about this, but I'll run through it again very quickly. The Fed missed an opportunity to really underpin the rally, and all it needed to do was, I feel, to acknowledge that there were still risks to the downside to the U.S. economy, that it was prepared to do, to take whatever steps were necessary to contain that risk. And then it could have said, yes, there are some inflationary pressures, but these are largely from energy prices and food prices. This is something I've been saying practically every day here for a couple of weeks or so. And the Fed could have added that other inflationary pressures have subsided, which is certainly the case. We certainly don't have house price inflation anymore. We don't see any asset inflation taking place in that U.S. economy right now. And as I've emphasized on so many occasions, that the energy cost inflation, and even that's off the boil, and also the food price inflation, which remains, these are global problems. These are not something that you can tackle with monetary policy. So the Fed completely failed to make that kind of distinction. Whereas if it had said that inflationary pressures were subsiding, that would have actually helped them, helped their position, and that it would have probably contributed to a little less militancy regarding wages. Not that there's a lot of militancy regarding wages right now. So I'm afraid, you know, we still have an inexperienced, on-the-job trainee central bank governor. Greenspan was the same when he took control of the Fed in 1987. And I don't want to draw other parallels with that, because we don't have crash conditions in here, whereas we certainly did back then. But the Fed has missed this opportunity, as I say, to reinforce the August and November lows for the major stock market indices such as the Dow and the S&P. And therefore, I think the risk is that we'll get, seeing those keys in here today, the risk is that we would get a retest of those lows without some sort of follow-up statement coming really fairly quickly, either from Fed officials such as Cohen and Bernanke. But I can see why he might be reluctant to speak again so quickly. Although in China, you know what would happen. You'd get somebody coming out with a policy statement saying that the stock market overreacted. Well, I'm not sure that this Fed is capable of doing that, but I think that's what needs to be said. Just to calm nerves here a bit, and if the Fed isn't able or willing to do that, lacks the emotional intelligence to do that, then perhaps Hank Paulson should do it. But without that, I think that we would, the risk would be that we would see a retest of those August and November lows on Wall Street. Now, so that's kind of the worst case look at this overall. We try to put all of this into perspective, and I'll repeat that important quote about risk is often lowest when it is most visible. Today, no doubt, has been a disappointment for investors, and as I say, an opportunity lost, lost by the Fed. But what we have seen here in the, well, all along, and not least in the last couple of weeks, we have seen the resilience of the floor money themes the moment the worst of the pressure is off Wall Street. So the moment Wall Street steadies up a little bit, we see mining shares move back up to their highs. That remains such an interesting story. We see the powerful resources markets from Australia to Brazil, and yes, Canada steady, Russia steady. We see that, and we see a market such as India push through to new highs today. Well, now stock markets are not going to, other stock markets are not going to like this Wall Street move, obviously. So we can expect a jittery day tomorrow, but it'll be interesting to see if some of those Asian markets are able to resist this. I don't think they will initially on the opening. There may be a knee-jerk reaction to a slightly easier tone, a somewhat easier tone. But if we get China, for instance, which has been really steady in here in the last week or so, if we get China and some of these other Asian markets narrowing declines during the course of the day, let alone closing near the higher side of tomorrow's action, then that would help steady nerves in Europe a little bit. But I'd be prepared for lower openings, no question about that. But again, some of those markets had rallied up to the higher side of their ranges, where Germany, for instance, where it would not be unreasonable to expect some resistance. So we can expect risk of Wall Street testing the lower side of its range, European stock markets remaining range-bound in here for a while longer. That's okay. Investors can certainly live with that. Stock markets are certainly not at any kind of outrageous valuations for the most part, rather the opposite. There are risks to the earnings, as we know, due to the overall slowdown. But then monetary policy has changed with the pumping in of additional liquidity, with interest rate hikes giving way to interest rate cuts. So that's a favorable overall background. I still think that we're on course for some pretty decent stock market performance throughout much of 2008, but today's action has certainly kiboshed the, rephrase that. Anyone whose first language is not English may wonder what on earth I'm saying, but it's checked the rally. In other words, that year-end rally that we were seeing has been checked for at least the for at least a few days, and subject to what kind of follow-up statements, if any, are forthcoming. But more importantly, I think that the conditions that I just described of interest rate cuts, infusion of liquidity, the various programs that have been introduced in the U.S. to cap the subprime mortgage rates, all this will really help to calm nerves over the immediate term, if not during the next few hours, as the reaction to the Fed's statement and decisions filter through the system overall. What else to mention here? The U.S. dollar in a ranging phase here overall. That's likely to continue. Precious metals do catch contagion selling when you get a fright, as Wall Street's sell-off introduced here today. But I maintain that precious metals are much closer to a buying range than a selling range. The oil price, incidentally, was firmer in here today. It's also range-bound, I think, in a small medium-term correction. But it did push back up over $90 on the WTI. Price got up to $90.55 at one stage today, and then after hours trading is at $89.30, so it gave up some of that rally, but it was still up $1.44 on the day. I expect that to remain in this range for a while, really in the low 90s to mid to upper $80 region during this medium-term consolidation of at least a few weeks. Grain and beans, grains and beans, they were strong in here today. At least soybeans and corn were strong, but they closed before the Fed's announcement, and I think wheat might have been a little bit soft. Yes, wheat was softer here today. I would expect some weakness in those grains and beans tomorrow, just as part of this overall reaction. On so many occasions, we've seen the markets, so many of these markets rally together and also decline together. So sum it all up, animal spirits have taken a short-term knock in the head today. I don't think this will turn into a rout, but I'd feel better about that comment if we had somebody stepping forth from Walter Paulson or one of the Fed officials saying that the markets, stock market overreacted here today. I say that's what the Chinese would do. We've seen it before from them. Meanwhile, no doubt we get an interesting tomorrow. All the best to all of you.